Holy Culture Radio.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound.
Look, up in the sky.
It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's
what in the ham sandwich?
We saw it in the van, yo. Let y'all know. Don't take it personal. It's just business.
This is what I want to say to them. Yeah. They gave me a new era type fit.
There you go.
Not that old flex fit. You know what I'm saying?
One size fit all fit.
And the shorty go up to the altar doing the huck a buck. But it looked more like a Poland lap dance.
There you go.
She might be a church sniper.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying? Don't jaw me to death.
Don't jaw me.
And we praying for you, B.
We praying for you.
But you dead wrong, man.
You dead wrong.
We don't shoot no hot ones on the show.
Nah.
We got to call a spade, man.
Yeah.
What in the ham sandwich?
Yeah.
What it do? It's the kid Sean Slaughter.
It's your girl True Asia.
And we are by ourselves today.
Yeah, all alone.
Your boy Cook Dog. Well, we're gonna let you know what happened to him in a minute. He got issues. I Rock G's on sabbatical. You know what I'm saying? He's training for the X Games. And Marquise, I don't know where that boy at.
Keep that
boy, yeah, keep that boy in your prayer. Foolish freestyle. Yeah. Slow it off the top of the dome to the track, and you know how we do when I lay it right back. It's the ham sandwich show. Yes, we are back and we stick to the ball just like a thumbtack. Yes, we kick the facts and the truth all day. Know how we do when we make the beat sway. Cookie try to get his teeth pulled now he got a root cut now. Yes, that's the truth. I'm up in the booth. It's all good when I spit rhymes 100 proof. I be coming through and no, I don't rock a koof. E, can you even see? H to the A to the M. Yes, fresh. When we coming rock to the death. Slow it on the set. True on the left. When we coming through, we rocking out of breath. Jesus Christ on the cross died for his death. Foolish freestyle, I ain't got nothing left. Yes, the ham sandwich show, it is so cool. You know how we do splash like a pool. The water, Sean Slaughter, I'm out of order. I gotta rhyme a little extra longer. Why? Cause my boy ain't in the building. I'm chilling, it's all good. I rock from here to Tilden. The Q-U-W-E-N-S. And yes, you're so fresh, you better rock a vest. Or a North Face when we coming through. Everybody wanna come and catch a court case. Acting like a thug, but it's all good. Make you jump like a spark plug. When I come through, you know, Sean, keep a bug. And yes, I throw the two up just like I got love. Woo! Can you handle it? We coming through just like Cunningham when I handle it. Call me Michael Vick, cause I'm running sick. The freestyle flow. Everybody know. Everybody welcome to the show. Thanks for tuning in. You know we about to get it in. Holyculture.net, thesouth.com. Heads up. Everybody else, you know that you the bomb.
Ow.
You like that?
Hot.
You know what I'm saying? I had to rhyme a little extra longer since Cook's not here. You know what I'm saying? My wife fighting a little cold.
Yeah.
Pray her strength.
In the low.
The reason Cook's not here, this is the story that I got. I get a call today about 4 o'clock. You know what I'm saying? Cook sounding sad as fire.
Yo.
You know what I'm saying? It sounds like he lost his dog. Yo. Obviously, last week, Cook apparently was eating a sandwich at work. And he bit into the sandwich. And he tasted something crunchy in the sandwich.
He must be eating a gravel sandwich.
Well, he opens a sandwich up, and it's his tooth. The dude done bit his tooth out the sandwich. Like, dog, you that hungry? Is that sandwich is that serious? So he breaks his tooth off in the sandwich. And I guess the other half of his tooth got pushed up. I don't know. He must have been going in. He must have been eating with his eyes closed. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what he was doing, making love to the sandwich. So anyway, he calls me today. He's on his way to get a root canal. You know what I'm saying? Which is not fun.
Not at all.
So definitely keep that boy in prayer. You know what I mean? Cook, hope you end up there screaming and all that.
Too big for that.
So that's what happened to Cook. But it's all good. It's the Ham Sandwich Show. We're glad to have you here. We kicked the facts, cut all the fat out, talk about politics, pop culture, religion, world issues, local issues, religion, the church, the streets.
The street.
You know what I'm saying? Everything that you were scared to say.
We say it.
We say that, Joe. Let's go ahead and get to a little bit of ham news. Couple things popping. Of course, like if anybody cared, well, I guess we do care. Lil Wayne got released. This little 8-month bid. You know what I'm saying?
That was fast.
Huh?
How come the people who ain't no good, how come they time go by so fast?
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? And the people that's good, they get locked up forever.
Right, they get 15 years for jaywalking.
You know what I'm saying? These other dudes, you know what I'm saying? I don't think T.I.'s going to serve any time either. That's what I heard, man.
Favoritism.
Hey. You know what I'm saying? I guess when you become a superstar, the laws don't apply to you.
I guess so. That money.
You know what I'm saying? That guapolino. Conan O'Brien is back. You know what I'm saying?
Conan O'Brien.
For all those who are Conan O'Brien fans, I like Conan O'Brien. He can be funny. He's back on TBS. Put up some nice ratings. Put up some pretty big ratings between the 18 and 34 group, which is the hardest group to reach. You know what I'm saying? The 18 to 34 group is the hardest group to reach. But thank God the Ham Sandwich Show reaches that group. Yes.
Oh,
thank. Hallelujah. And so, yeah, he's putting up some numbers, man. 3.28 million in that group. 4.155 million. And so it seems like the major networks, the NBCs, the Foxes, the ABCs, don't seem to have a pull as they used to, because now he's on TBS. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And don't TBS is the same ones that got
Tyler Perry.
Yeah. And he putting them numbers up with them shows.
Yeah, he got the top shows. His shows are the top shows.
Crazy. So TBS trying to do it big. You know what I'm saying? There was a missile launch in LA. Mm. If y'all missed it. Now ain't nobody saying nothing about it.
Doing a hush.
You know what I'm saying? It's on a hush-hush. It's on a down low. The down leasy. But there was an unexplained missile launch. Now, there's missile launches that happen all the time, I guess, because it's military and stuff there. But imagine just walking by and looking up in the air and seeing a missile fly by. And it says, every branch of the military has denied involvement, and the Pentagon has been cryptic about the object and who may have launched this.
Don't trust them. At all. They up to something. It's something they up to.
They doing something. You know what I'm saying? They got no business doing.
That right there over there.
You know what I'm saying? It's them people. And so, you know, basically, and nobody's saying nothing. They keeping mum on it. They're the government, so I guess they can do whatever they want to do. And last in ham news. Oh, you got anything to add in ham news?
Yeah, I got some to add. Is there an article in Time magazine called Black Boys Score Far Behind White Students?
Mm.
This is absolutely disgusting.
Go ahead.
First of all, there's a test that they do each year called the National Assessment for Educational Progress.
Okay.
Which are given to students in fourth and eighth grades. Most recently, in 2009, a report, A Call for Change, is to be released Tuesday. Basically, the results of this test showed that black boy, fourth grade boys, and reading, only 12% of black fourth grade boys are proficient in reading. 12%.
Wait. 12% of
black boys.
Period.
Period. Are proficient in reading compared to 38% of white boys. And they talking about, no, they talking about poor kids.
Okay.
They talking about poor kids. Black poor kids, white poor kids. So 12% of black poor kids are on read proficiently compared with 38% of white poor kids. Right.
So basically
that's fourth grade.
So basically almost one out of every 10 black poor kids can't read. Wow.
Only 12% of black eighth grade boys, that was the fourth grade, eighth grade boys are proficient in math compared with 44% of white boys. These are poor
12%
boys.
12% in math.
In math.
That's a shame.
That's a shame. In high school, African-American boys drop out nearly twice the rate of white boys. And their SAT scores are, on average, 104 points lower than white males. In college, listen to this.
I ain't feeling that.
In college, black men represented only 5% of students.
Are you serious?
That is a shame. Now, what they're saying is these are both black poor kids and white poor kids. So what they're saying is poor has nothing to do with it. It has everything to do. Mm. It's not the environment. It's the home. It's the parents, the education of the parents. It's the fact that, you know, mothers are having, they say more African-American mothers, you know, they have more kids.
Well, I just read that's amazing because they did it on, and this kind of ties what we're talking about today. But they took the test based on, I guess, class system. Is that what you call it? Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? Kind of class, like financial.
Right.
And they did it on poor kids, right. And it showed that black kids did worse than white kids.
Right.
In the same poor, the same low environment. Income.
Same environment.
Wow.
So you can't say, oh, it's the environment. They say black kids face more issues before their first day of kindergarten than any white kids, poor or not.
That's crazy, man. And I did read today, in addition to that, now this is astounding. Listen to this. I don't know if this is poor or overall. From what I read, I think it was overall. 72% of black children are born to single mothers.
That sounds about right.
72.
That's a shame.
3 out of every 4 black kids in America being born are born to single mothers. No dad in the house.
That's a shame.
6 out of every 8. 12 out of every 16. No, that's wrong. 9 out of every 12. I just screwed the
you
whole thing
screwed
up.
That up. Anyway.
Yeah, 6 out of 8, 9 out of 12. 9 out of every 12 kids. If you got 12 kids in a room, 3 of them got daddies.
That's a shame. They're calling this a national emergency.
Of course.
So they're calling, and they have to have a meeting in the White House because they need to know what the heck is going on, because it's not about racism anymore. It's about, you know, it's about the parents encouraging, supporting their kids, making sure their kids eat breakfast, making sure their kids get enough sleep at night, making sure their kids do their homework.
And my wife noticed because she's a behavioral counselor.
Right.
So she deals with it every day.
It's way more than just
giving
them, we poor.
Giving them money.
Right. It's way more than money.
I think a lot of times it has to also do with there's been a system that, it seems like there's been a system educationally sometimes that's set up to exclude certain people. You know right. what I'm saying? And I think when that system has been set up to exclude certain people, I think you can begin to produce generations of people who cannot seem to master the system. You know what I'm saying? How come some kids master the educational system or political system or so on and so forth and other kids cannot? You know what I'm saying? And so... But I do agree with you, man, that parents, I got to step their game up, man.
Yeah, parents.
You know what I'm saying?
Don't stop feeling sorry for yourself. I'm a single mom. I'm a single dad. You got to make sure your kids live a better life than you did.
All day.
So you got to sit down with them and do their homework. You encourage them. You tell them, you know, you're going to be somebody. You sit down. You read with them. You know, shoot, you can't read. Then y'all learn together. Shoot. You got to make sure your kids... don't become a statistic.
Together.
Exactly. If you got to sit there, you got to get a tutor for you and your son, then you get a tutor for you and your son. But you do anything, everything in your power to make sure that your child does not become a statistic.
And stop dropping your kids off to school with pajamas and flip-flops and a do-rag.
With SpongeBob pants on.
with SpongeBob or sleep pants.
Exactly. And tell your kids to stop sagging. Make sure you tell your kids to... Tuck their shirts and stop sagging. If they're going to sag, let them know what it means before they do it.
Get their butts right. It looks bad.
That's mad embarrassing.
That's mad embarrassing.
You should be embarrassed.
I'm embarrassed for my race right now. You know what I'm saying? It's the Ham Sandwich Show, man.
You're acting dark skin right now.
You know what I'm saying?
Stop acting dusty.
You're acting real dappy right now. Look, let's go ahead and take some music. We're going to come back and we're going to talk a little bit about God and money.
If you got it, you live it. If you live it, you got it. Hey.
You know what it is.
You know what it is.
Yeah. Let's get them.
It's mine, homie. You know it's me, man, you know. Had to take a little time off, but I'm back, you know what I'm saying? You know what it is. Keep the world records. If you got it, you live it. If you live it, you got it. Hey.
You know what it is.
You know what it is.
Yeah. Let's get them.
It's mine, homie. You know it's me, man, you know. Had to take a little time off, but I'm back, you know what I'm saying? You know what it is. Keep the world records. We in the field. Yeah.
So let's get them, you know what I mean?
I'm ready. Get my shirt off, though.
Okay, you ready for them?
Yeah, I got it.
Trav, I see you, baby, let's get
it. I gotta live it, just can't talk it. Just can't walk it, gotta talk it, gotta live it. Christ did it, my sole purpose is to fill it and be perfect as he is. God's excuses, even forgive, yes he will. Would instill with true repentance, got on the down of your will. And Christ to do the rest, and I'm on CBF rep. Until I take my last breath, join the angels singing holy. It's you with the one and only, the God of heaven, I'm and send his son to die for me. And for you, yeah, it's true. So no matter what you do or what you done, you can be forgiven and be a son. Cause I know, cause I was there. I was lost on the run, trying to run from the son who born again the one. But now I see the Redeemer. He's the reason I'm singing. He's the reason I'm rapping. So you know I'm not trapping. I'm in the hood, homeboy, and you know what I'm reppin'. I'm just CBFin' reppin'. I'm just CBFin', yo.
I'm just CBFin' reppin'. I'm just CBFin', yo. I'm just CBFin' reppin'. I'm just CBFin', yo. I'm just CBFin' reppin'. I'm just CBFin', yo. Christ boy fresh, we roll with the best, yes. I'm just CBFin' reppin'. I'm just CBFin', yo. I'm just CBFin' reppin'. I'm just CBFin', yo. I'm just CBFin' reppin'. I'm just CBFin'.
Christ boy fresh, I must confess that I'm on my G. Fresher than the new white tee. I see the enemy wanna come try me. I be victorious. They don't really wanna go to war, all they wanna do is talk cheap. While I'm over here, CBF and we be's the best, and these boys here too deep. See, I'm covered by the blood of a king, blood of a covenant, blood that redeems. Defeat, no, not me. Retreat, I will never convince my feet. KW to the O to the C. Fresher than white DC's, no crease.
I'm just CBF and reppin'. I'm just CBFing.
North Pole Cole, and he broke the mold when he sent his own son to die on that lonely road. Made to carry his cross alone, and I know I will see the Redeemer. He's the reason I'm breathing. He's the reason I'm repping CBF. You know I'm repping.
I'm just CBFing, repping. I'm just CBFing, yo. I'm just CBFing, repping. I'm just CBFing, yo. I'm just CBFing, repping. I'm just CBFing, yo. Christ boy fresh, we roll with the best. Yes, I'm just CBFing. CBFing, reppin', I'm just CBFing, yo. I'm just CBFing, reppin', I'm just CBFing, yo. I'm just CBFing, reppin', I'm just CBFing, yo. Christ boy fresh, we roll with the best, yeah.
Y'all know what it is.
We back.
We're back. It's the What the Ham Sandwich Show. I rock in here. And young Kisei here. You know what I'm saying? Cookie getting his tooth situation
jaw
right.
Jack.
Yeah, getting his jaw smacked up. You know what I'm saying? And so we appreciate y'all being here. On today's show. Well, of course, before I start that, you want to hit us on Facebook, you want to ask your questions on Facebook, you can, facebook.com/hamsandwichshow. So we're always on Facebook, ask your questions, give your thoughts, your comments. We love to hear from you. Also, don't forget to check out the hamsandwichshow.com, the latest news events, what's going on around the world, you know, what thinking Christians should be thinking about. Go to hamsandwichshow.com. Also, don't forget you can call in 757-325-9493.
Holla.
757-325-9493. Today's show actually was inspired by the Ham Sandwich Network. When you go on the Ham Sandwich Network, there's a lot of people. The one thing that we love is that people go on the Ham Sandwich Network and they start these conversations. And so you see somebody that's asked a question or has a thought, started a conversation, and people begin to respond. And I think what's really cool about that is that you kind of get to see where people's minds are at concerning the issue.
Right.
Obviously, we all follow the word of God, but sometimes that seems to flesh out differently. And so I'm always interested to see how people respond to some of these issues in the world with the word, you know, biblical understanding. And then you have culture, you have environment, you have all these different things that play up in how people respond to the truth, respond to God's word. And so I think it's always interesting to see how they respond, because a lot of stuff is hard issues, man, real hard issues. Today's show is basically, how much money does God want you to have? Mm. All right.
How much cake?
How much cake? It's guap. Does God want you to have? Now, somebody on the Ham Sandwich Show, on Ham Sandwich Network, asked, does God want you to be rich? And right now, that's the most popular blog right now. And does God want you to be rich? We took a little different spin to it. And the first thing that I want to talk about, before we even kind of get to that question, is I want to talk about prosperity. Mm. Okay? Mm. Now, I'm not a TBN watcher. You a TBN watcher, True?
No.
Okay. Word Network?
No.
Okay. INSP, I'll do INSP. Like, they'll do, like, a youth program or something like that. But that's, like, once in a blue. You know what I'm saying?
Orange moon.
You know what I'm saying?
That's what be purple.
Exactly. A polka dot moon. You know what I mean? When they have some pretty good youth stuff. I think TBN has JCTV on it, too. I don't know. It seems that on most networks, most Christian networks, the major ones like the TBNs and the Word Network, what you mostly hear are prosperity messages, messages on being blessed,
highly favored,
on being highly favored, on being rich.
Your cup running over.
Your cup runneth over. Guap.
Genie.
You know what I'm saying? And basically, the message goes like this. It says, if you're a Christian and you do so-and-so and so forth, you know, you'll be a millionaire. You know what I'm saying? You'll have success. You'll be better off than you're supposed to. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? The money is yours. The cars is yours. The clothes
Name
is yours.
Name it and claim it.
You know what I'm saying? Name it and claim it. Blab it and grab it.
Mm. Raise it and tase it.
And it would seem that in the recession that we're having right now, that those who are prosperity preachers are probably having a very good year.
Mm.
Okay?
Right.
Because when you have recessions, when you have down years,
when you have people who are in fear, you feed off that fear.
There you go.
People react off their fear.
There you go. You know what I'm saying? and naturally in a recession, fears at an all-time high. How I'm going to feed my family. How I'm going to pay for my house note. How I'm going to pay for my schooling. How I'm going to take care of my kids, dress my kids, put food on the table. Fears at an all-time high.
Right.
It's been an all-time high because of terrorism, and now because our economy is dropping, and we're not going to be the dominant economy anymore. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be China. Just keep your eyes on China. They'll be the next world power. The reality is that every country has... You know, it's 400 years, do what it's got to do. So Rome had its time. Britain had its time. You know, everybody, every country seems to have its time to control the world, in a sense, to rule the world.
Right.
And America, and it's funny, they say it's usually right around 400 years. And we're right around that time. America was started, what, in the 1500s? And so right now we've had about 500 years of domination, global domination. 400 years plus maybe of global domination when it comes to money, all that type of stuff. That's changing.
Yeah, we slipping.
You know what I'm saying? And China's about to get its turn. But with that happening, you got the people that's selling real estate. You got your boy Tony Robbins. I love Tony Robbins. You got Tony Robbins selling his motivation, you know, to motivate you to get wealth or motivate you to do whatever. Most of the time, most people take it as I can get motivated to get this dough. But right now, prosperity preaching is at an all-time high because if you don't have a job and you're broke, you like to hear that God's going to give you some money.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And there are some scriptures that are used on a continual basis concerning prosperity. Back it up. You might be saying, but Sean, you know, prosperity is in the Bible. And prosperity is you know, God wants prosperity. You know what I'm saying? And you might tell me, Sean, what about Deuteronomy 8:18? It says, remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. That's a popular one.
That's what it says.
You know what I'm saying?
That's exactly what it says.
Oh, Sean, what about Genesis 26:12? Then Isaac sowed into the land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him.
Blessed him for reaping.
He reaped in the same year.
He got blessed.
No, he got 100-fold blessing. So when you sow in this year, God says, God ain't say this, but he just using the scripture. God says that your 100-fold blessing can't wait to 2011.
And God is not talking to you.
He is not
talking to Isaac. Your name is not Isaac.
You know what I'm saying? 3 John 1 and 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prosper. Ecclesiastes, this is a favorite prosperity preaching one. You know what I'm saying? I should have put like a little sound effect. I put a little champagne bottle popping. But every time.
Drinks on me.
Every time I hit up. This is a preacher's favorite. Prosperity preacher's favorite one. All right? All right? Prosperity preacher's favorite one. Ecclesiastes 10:9. A feast is made for laughter, and wine makes life merry. But money is the answer.
For everything.
For everything.
That's what the Bible says.
If
you don't believe me, look in it.
All right.
That's what it says.
Let's see what else we got. Joshua 1 and 8. I'm making the case for you. Joshua 1 and 8. Do not let this book of law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous. And successful. You know what I'm saying? That's another one. We have another one here. This is Job 3. This is Job 36 and 11. And I believe this might be a preacher's favorite right here. You know what I'm saying? All right. Job 36 and 11.
Popping bottles.
If they obey him and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. All right. The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty. Okay. That's that one probably I don't want to read. He who deals with slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes one rich. And so, there's a bunch of scriptures of prosperity. You know what I'm saying?
In the Bible.
It's the Bible, right? It's the Bible says.
The word.
Last scripture on prosperity. This is pretty much when you turn what you're hearing from prosperity preachers. This is how pretty much they're backing up what they're saying. You know what I'm saying? But we have something to say against this, of course, or something to this. So when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about prosperity. We're going to define prosperity. We're also going to talk about, will our prayers for money make us rich? We'll talk about that. And also in the second part, we'll take some callers. So if you're calling in, just wait till after we play our music. We'll take your call, get it cracking. It's Sean. It's True.
We holding it down, y'all.
We holding it down. Cook is not here.
Tag teaming it.
I Rock Jesus.
He on some sabbatical.
You know what I'm saying? He on sabbatical. You know what I'm saying? With show.
He's taking a nap.
We back.
Whole Culture Radio.
Sing with me.
Sing with me.
It's a privilege and an honor to worship the King of Kings.
How great is our God.
a song like this, just to put a pin in my fist, to make sure that every word is right, so even Corey Ray can say that it's precise. It's like I wanna throw rice, cause my groom is on the way, which means that I'm a wife. Yeah, I'm a wife, but not of myself. I'm just a body part, which means that I'm a help me knees. This is the role of a help me. At the same time, Lord, I need you to help me. But since the groom can't see the bride before it's time, the groom left his word to keep the bride in line. And once the groom's words have been applied, we'll start fitting the dress, cause faith was exercised. And once our faith is exercised, our abs will live God, even in crunch time. See when crunch time is, when the pressure is on. So when the pressure is on, what I'm saying is we should still be ad-libbing God. Some of us can't ad-lib God, cause we don't know what he's saying. Study the main vocal. Now how great is our God? I ask myself that every day that I rise. But when I can't open my eyes, that question will be answered. I won't be surprised. Man, I will be like blown out of my mind. Cause it'll be like opening up my blinds. You know, letting the sunshine in. My body is his temple, call it the sunshine in. And we don't have to wait until the end. We can celebrate now cause we already win. I can't wait until the day when we all on one accord like when Voltron was formed. One day we gon' fly to our honeymoon in the skies. And since I studied your pattern, I know when you hit our wedding band, it's around Saturn. See everything in the earth will declare that he's Lord and he's God. Whether it be the planets or the stars or even the grass, everything declares that he's Lord. But I need to speak from my heart. Just need to be honest. It's really hard to be patient. I'm so ready, man. I'm so anxious. Cause I want to encounter love, not the because of, but the in spite of love. That knew I was a mess. It was love that still scooped me from the depths. It was love that still ordered my steps. I heard you say go right, but I purposely went left. I'm sorry, but you purposely wouldn't leave. And what that taught me was how to L-O-V-E. Man, how great are you, God? Better humble yourself or pause the dirt and die. And we got a nerve to have pride after you took the time to refurbish our lives. So many nights I cried, thinking if I was you, I wouldn't put up with time. Sing with me. I wanna hear the whole world, man. All will see. All will see, man. Even a blind person can see how great I got it. And that's all. And I realize that because of your word, I worship. You're valuable to me. So I cry out to you. You're a great God.
Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb.
It's the Ham Sandwich Show. Short and true. Cook getting his root canal.
Getting his teeth dug out.
And DJ Al Rock is climbing Mount Kilimanjaro. You know what I'm saying? Phone lines are all open. So if you want to call in, go ahead and call in.
Allah.
And we're talking about, you know what I'm saying, does God want you to have a lot of money, and how much money does God want you to have? And we started with prosperity, and we gave you a whole bunch of prescriptions on prosperity that a lot of the favorite preachers like using. You know what I'm saying? To back up prosperity. But true, don't you have a definition there?
Yes.
Of what prosperity is? Because I think sometimes we mix it up. But give us that prosperity definition.
Prosperity is defined as success, good fortune, or wealth. It is a word that often immediately conjures up images of money in the minds of most people. But did you not know that money is only part of what it means to be prosperous? Prosperity is inclusive of your state of mind, your health, and your finances.
Okay. Well, we got a ham caller. Ham caller, are you there?
Yeah, what's up, Sean? This is Phil. How you doing, Chueza?
I'm good. How are you, Phil?
All right, man. I'm all right. What's your comment,
bro? I'll call before. I think it's interesting and everything you said. I agree with you. Prosperity is a state of mind and how you live. But I think it's even more interesting, and it's sad to say, and I'm going to say it, but as black people, we do not know how to manage what we have.
Okay.
Preach, Phil!
Now, on a few previous shows, you talked about the Fortune 500 and Bill Gates.
Uh-huh.
And you talked about how Bill Gates still shopped at Walmart and this and that.
Right.
Now, we get a little bit of money.
A little bit of change.
And we want to spend it all. Yeah. Instead of saying, you know what? I'm going to take out this 10 from my tithes. I'm going to put this other 10 in the bank to save. And I'm going to see if I can manage this other 80 and make it work for me even greater than what it is.
That boy is
that's what. Hey, Phil, man, we definitely appreciate your comment. Thank you, homeboy. Thanks for the knowledge, dog.
No problem.
Thanks, Phil.
And Phil is absolutely right.
He is absolutely right.
He's absolutely right in that, you know, we're the ones that seem to be caught up with the prosperity deal. If you want to really get down to it, when you look at the Word Network and you look at TBN, who's in the audience? Black folks. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And just like Phil said, we don't know how to manage our money.
Right.
And we get caught up in prosperity. And when we hear prosperity, because prosperity within itself, the word prosperity is not a bad word. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
The way it's been used is to denote money, but it's more than money, right? It denotes
right.
A good fortune, in a sense, or right. Health.
Health. It says health and wealth. So the state of mind. Do you have peace? Do you have joy in your life?
Right.
That's prosperity as well. Are you healthy? That's prosperity as well.
You know what I'm saying? I can look at my kids and, you know, my kids doing well in school and loving God and stuff like that. And I can be a prosperous man.
Right.
And I might not have $1 million, have a beautiful wife. You know what I'm saying? Career's going okay or whatever. I mean, to be honest, true prosperity is just like joy. It's just like joy.
Right.
Happiness comes from circumstances.
Right.
Joy comes from God.
That's right. Because once some circumstances pass, your happiness passes with it.
All day. But true prosperity, it comes from the Lord, man. You know what I'm saying? You can be rich without being rich. All right?
That's
so
right.
I think a lot of times our views on prosperity, and because of the scriptures, we back up prosperity. But check this out. Here's my philosophy. Because I want to talk a little bit about praying for money to be rich. Because, yeah, a lot of people that pray to be rich, right? And here's my philosophy. My philosophy, this is Sean's philosophy. You know, so I need a Sean's philosophy thing.
Sean's philosophy.
praying for money periodically is fine. Continually praying for money on a continual basis is greedy.
And it's a shame.
It's a shame. Why? Because we usually pray for what we can't do or do not want to do. Think about it. Most people pray for what they can't do or what they do not want to do. Okay? Now, you have those that you know, God does call us to pray for what we can't do. There are some things that we just cannot do. You know what I'm saying? Whether it be, I don't want to say can't do, but it's difficult to do. You know,
right.
We do pray for things that are difficult to do. And guess what? There are some things that we can't do. There are some prayers that God just has to answer that man cannot supply the answer for himself.
Right.
If he does not help us, then there's no help. My problem is the issue about praying for the things that you do not want to do. Mm. You know what I'm saying? If I'm praying, I get in a recession and I got bills. I've been looking for a job. Nobody's hiring. You know, nobody's taking my application. And I'm praying, God, I need to have some money by this week. You know what I'm saying? And I've prayed that prayer before when I've gotten a situation where it's like, I've done all I can do. You know what I'm saying? I've done all I can do. I pray, God, I need some help. I need some financial help.
please come through. You know what I'm saying? And for the most part, God has come through for me. You know what I'm saying? He really has. I have an issue with those that say this prayer and do nothing. They're not educating themselves. They're not building a network.
They're not putting themselves in a place to become prosperous.
They're not putting them just. They're not putting themselves in a position to become prosperous. And because you don't want to do that, aka lazy, then what you do is you pray for God to do something that you can do yourself. For instance, everybody should have some kind of 401k or savings plan, emergency plan, emergency money. Everybody should have that. Now we're not saying that we're perfect at this, but we understand that emergencies come up. You need to have like $2,000, 2,500, 3 Gs in the bank just sitting there. And then next to that, you need to have another 2 or 3 Gs. Let's just say, you know, you make $40,000, $50,000 a year. You know, you have 6 Gs in the bank, you know, $3,000 for emergencies, $2,500 for emergencies, $3,000 of savings. If you got kids, begin to, you know, open up a, I forget what it's called, 529, which is a college fund, or just use a savings or, you know, some kind of bond or something. Do something for your kids, right? You know, make sure you put some money aside so you can take care of issues when they come around. You know what I'm saying? Then the issue, so you don't do that. You know what I'm saying? You don't put yourself in a position that, you know, like we had. You know, we needed $4,500 to change my AC and heater. We put ourselves in a position where we saved up, you know what I'm saying, and had about $22,000 to do it. You know what I'm saying? Now we owe $25,000 and we saved up again and about to drop a G on it. You know what I'm saying? Only a week or so after it was 2 weeks after it was installed. You feel what I'm saying? You don't put yourself in a position to take care of the things you have to take care of.
Right.
What you do is you sit around watching SpongeBob, you know what I'm saying?
Eating Frosted Flakes.
Eating Frosted Flakes.
With bananas.
And Batman draws. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? With a yellow and black banana cut up in there. You know what I mean? And then when the situation comes, time and time and time and time again, you never learn from the last time. You never position yourself according to the last time. So you always find yourself praying for $100, praying for $200. You know what I'm saying? begging for $5 and $10. It's embarrassing. You know what I'm saying? It's very embarrassing, man. And there's a difference when you come down on hard times. You know what I'm saying? There's a difference when you come down on hard times. There's people that they lost their job like this. Then there's other people that in January they said, we're releasing about 50% of you in August. You might want to make alternate plans. You get released in August and you begging me for $10.
Embarrassing.
You short. You short like a gnome. You know what I'm saying? And here's how the Bible backs this up. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to those who want to pray to get rich and those who are continually, I'm not talking about periodically, you know, when you really need help. I'm talking about those who want to use God as a piggy bank. Those who think God's last name is Wachovia. Mm. You know what I'm saying? These are the people I'm talking about. Those who think God is a lottery.
Exactly.
Here's what the Bible says about it. Proverbs 12:11 says, he who tills his land will have plenty of bread, but he who pursues worthless things lacks sense. Mm. Let me say that again. He who tills his land will have plenty of bread, but he who pursues worthless things lacks sense. Mm. If all you about is things that really don't bring no worth, look, I would love to get a new car. I got a car. You know, it's okay. Got some rims on it. It looks decent. You know what I'm saying? I would love to get a brand new car. You know what I mean? But I have other things I need to take care of in my house.
Priority.
You know what I'm saying? That are priority. You feel what I'm saying? And so if I do that just to make myself feel better and think I'm increasing my worth in the eyes of you, the Bible says that I lack sense.
Senseless.
You know what I'm saying? Spiritually and physically. Mm. Ain't got a cent in your pocket or in your head.
Walking around hitting walls.
Proverbs 23:4. Do not weary yourself to gain wealth. Cease from your consideration of it. Wow. Mm. Does that mean that we can't aspire to be rich and stuff? No. But here's the key word. Do not weary. Do not weary yourself to gain wealth.
They're stressed out.
Exactly. Some people, they stress themselves out so much just to get paid. They do anything except for the thing that God has called them to do. Proverbs 28:19-20. He who tills his land will have plenty of food, but he who follows empty pursuits will have poverty and plenty. A faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who makes haste to be rich will not go unpunished. What's crazy about these scriptures is that a lot of these scriptures don't even speak against rich people or being rich, but they talk about being hasty to be rich, or those who follow empty pursuits, or those who weary themselves, you know what I'm saying, to gain wealth. The Bible don't say nothing about doing the right things, saving, investing, making smart business plans, and then getting rich. Ain't got nothing to say about that. You know what I'm saying? It has everything to say about the microwave way.
Right. The walking around Jericho way.
Exactly. Exactly. You go to the parking lot, walking around the BMW place, talking about you tearing the walls down.
You got to deal with a horn and with a blowhorn.
With a blowhorn. Walking around the BMW place. You embarrassing and you're going to get arrested.
And you're going to get locked up.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, your little thing's taken.
They're going to lock you out. And then the little thing you came in going to get taken.
You know what I'm saying? I want to end with this before we get to the next section, to the Thunder Mower. Because in the Thunder Mower, I want to talk about getting paid. You know what I'm saying? We always talk about what the Bible speaks against getting paid. But I want to give you some scriptures on money and on wealth. You know what I'm saying? But I want to read the scripture, and we've done this before on the Ham Show. We read the scripture before, but I want to read it, and then I want to, you know, go to the Thunder Mower, and I want to extend this here. This is Luke 19:11-27, and it's basically the parable of the miners or the talents. This one's called the miners, all right. And so he calls his servants. I'm gonna paraphrase it, and. You know, he calls 10. Okay, here we go. He called 10 of his servants. He delivered to them 10 minas. And he said to them, listen to this. I love the Bible because the Bible is so relevant today. He said, this is what he said to him. Now, mind you, when Jesus is telling these parables, he's trying to explain to you what the kingdom of God is like. He's trying to tell you how the system works.
Right.
He gives each one of them 10 minas. And he says, do business until I come. Let's take this quick cam caller and I'll finish this up. Ham Caller, you on the line.
Honey, Ham.
Yo, this your boy, Saint Nick, a.k.a. Cook Dog, a.k.a. the Drummer Beast Boy.
Hey, yo.
Oh, Toothless Wonder.
Hey, yo, how you feeling, dog? Yeah, man.
Yo, my nigga mouth is freaking...
You sound like I got a little slob in it.
I'm the side of my mouth, yo.
Are you serious?
Yeah, man. They stuck me 16 times.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
So they took your tooth out?
Yeah, man, they sawed it down, man. Sawed it. They jumped almost to my gum, so I got like a slope right now.
That's embarrassing.
That's
yo.
Mad slobbing
so,
your
so
mouth.
So now I got to go back, yo, and see what the crown mold is. So look, when I get there, they said my front tooth. They got to pull that one too.
Are you so basically you be walking around like Pac-Man Jones with gold in your mouth?
Hey yo, stop making me laugh, yo. My jaw hurts. Hey yo, I had spit coming out my mouth and stuff. It was so swollen, man. My jaw still swollen.
So you were growling. You was on the short bus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey look, I went to the drugstore where I was talking. They said something wrong with you. I said no, my face is still numb.
they probably throw you off that white nose powder.
Yeah, mate. But look,
hey, yo, feel better, son.
Y'all, what's the show about?
The show is about how much money does God want you to have?
Oh, love it.
Yes. Hey yo, man, we got to get out of here so we go to a break, man. But feel better, dog.
Yeah, yo, holla at Ham Pastors. What's up? I'll be back next week. Holla at your boy, P.
No slob intended.
Yo. know what I'm saying? That's old Cook, dog. But let's keep reading. So he called 10 of his servants. He gave him 10 minas. And when he returned to receive the kingdom, he commanded these servants who had given money. And so the first one came, and the first one took that one mina and turned to 10, right? Second one came, took it, and turned to 5, all right? And his was interesting. The one that came back with 10 and the one that came back with 5, he didn't rebuke them. You know what I'm saying? Because when he gave it to them, he understood that whatever they brought back is what they can handle.
Right.
See, a lot of time God will make you rich because you can't handle $1 million.
Right.
So he only allows you to have 200,000. Oh, you can't handle 200,000. So he only allows you to gain 50,000. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes God's protecting you by not giving you everything you want. So one takes it and brings back 10. One gets it and brings back 5. The other one takes it and he put in a handkerchief. He said, because you're an austere man and you collect what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, out of your mouth, I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank that at my coming I may have collected with interest? And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to him who has 10. For I say to you that everyone who has will be given, and him who does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. But bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them and slay them before me. See, the thing about it is, God believes in stewardship, not prosperity necessarily, not the prosperity gospel and not poverty gospel. God believes in stewardship, that what you sow is what you reap. But guess what? When you sow a seed into the ground, the next day corn doesn't come up. You gotta plant it.
You gotta till it. You gotta water it.
You gotta tend it. You gotta take care. You gotta take care of your things. A lot of us want things and our car look busted. A lot of you want things and your living room look tore up. A lot of you want a better job and you ain't doing what you're supposed to be doing right now. A lot of you want better sneakers and you dog them up the first day.
You walking and sniffing down in
them. Scratches and all of that. You know what I'm saying? God is not going to bless you with God will not bless you with more if you cannot handle the little he gave you. And he gave this guy a mina and he put it in a handkerchief and God was not going to bless him. But guess what? The one that came back with 5, the Bible says that he gave him 5 cities. And so God will bless you according to what you can handle. The one that came back with 10, he gave him 10 cities. All right. So if you really want the blessing, you really want that the financial blessing, whatever God has given you, treasure it and make the most out of it. Appreciate it. Be content with it. Be grateful for it. Keep working and God will open the door for more. Those that are handling $1 million accounts, trust me, the same principles that when they use when they had $100 in the bank is the same principle they use when they had $1 million in the bank. Same principle. If they're faithful with 100, they'll be faithful with 1 million. But if when you get 20 and it's gone the next day, all you're doing is just buying stuff, then guess what? The same thing will happen when you get 1 million. And actually, you'll be worse off because instead of having a foreclosure of a $100,000 house, now you got a foreclosure of a $10 million mansion. And that looks embarrassing. All right?
It hurts. It burns.
It's the Ham Sandwich Show. It's Sean, Cook. No, actually, Sean True. Cook just called in. You know what I'm saying? Hope your mouth get better, son.
Listen, slob spirit.
You know what I'm saying? The slob spirit. We'll be back. Gonna be hard to shut us down.
Call your man, call your girl, Tell them all to call it bluff. Tell them call the stations and ask them why they hate on us. Took her out for his people just so he can stay in touch. Check the record books. It's better off you run with us. Call us punks, call us weak, call us chumps, call us dumb. Call the Verizon Network and still see it's not enough. On the cable, on the web, on the phone, they call us whack. Go ahead and try to shut us down. Ain't no app for that.
Ride with us, or you can hate me, but it'll be hard to shut us down. Ride with us, or you can hate me, but it'll be hard to shut us down.
Listen, I write to tell the truth, don't write to save face. Born in H-Town, got the words to save face. Christian means that when I eat the beat, I say my grace. If only God could judge you how you plan to beat the case. Can't beat it, Mike Jack couldn't either. All you get is one life, can't rewind or repeat it. I will do this till the day I take my last breath. Beautiful feet, I'm running till I take my last step. There's nothing they can do to stop what the Lord's doing. Come in the kitchen, take a look at what the Lord's brewing. Radio don't play us, television mock us. The truth is still spreading, there's no way they can stop us. Pharisees throw stones at my glass house, but they don't see their own reflection when they bad mouth. You can lie, you can hate, you can run us down, but in the end, the gates of hell couldn't shut us down.
Ride with us, or you can hate me, but it'll be hard to shut us down. Ride with us, or you can hate me, but it'll be hard to shut us down.
Some think we're a mess, some calling us blessed. A mic and a stage don't always equal success. Sometimes a bigger platform only brings stress. I watch my life in doctrine and pray for the best. AT told me, let your light shine, homes. Even if they wanna see you crash like Dow Jones. It's like Matt 16, who could come against it? You could be a Pharisee, or you could be a witness. If we stay in the church, the world calls us religious. If we go on MTV, the saints think we're tripping. If we try to hit the streets with some thugs in sin, with those specs ain't, you can't expect to win. It's hard to make decisions with theories clouding your vision. Sometimes I'm confused with who is my opposition. I think I heard cheers when I fumbled the ball. They claim they're on our team, but they're praying for our fall. They
can ride with us, or you can hate me, but it'll be hard to shut us down. Ride with us, or you can hate me, but it'll be hard to shut us down.
With that
Thundercats.
Ho! It's the Ham Sandwich Show, Sean and True. It's the Thunder Maui, y'all. Time for y'all to get y'all butts thundered.
Dug up it.
And what we've been talking about is how much money does God want you to have? And we begin with prosperity and kind of flesh that out and set some scriptures, but then we gave some scriptures also on those who desire to be rich, basically fall into a snare and a trap. And God has nothing against prosperity. I think he has something against the prosperity gospel.
Right.
But he has nothing against being prosperous as long as it's his way. And that's what we want to talk about in this time. We were talking about getting paid. All right. And we talked about poverty versus prosperity versus stewardship. You know what I'm saying? There's no poverty gospel. Being broke is not more holy or righteous than anything else. And being prosperous does not make you, you know, more holy or right. It's funny how both people think, both sides think that, like, if I'm broke and poor, I'm humble and I'm, you know, I'm more like Jesus. Or if I'm rich and prosperous and I'm in a church and the past and stuff, then I must have a special prophetic connection to God to get rich.
Right.
So it's funny how they both think they have a special connection to God if they broke or if they prosperous, prosperity gospel wise. But
God wants us to be good stewards of the gospel. You know what I'm saying? He wants to be good stewards of our money, which means that, like a farmer, we work the land, we till the land. There's certain activities and practices that we need to be doing,
right?
In order for us to prosper. And what we want to do is we want to give you some scriptures on how you can prosper. Because God does want you to prosper. You know what I'm saying? He says, but he wants you to prosper as your soul prospers. So he would rather, just like the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all things will be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. So God has no problem with you prospering, but he wants your soul to prosper first. You know what I'm saying? He wants your inner man to prosper. God does not want, according to those two scriptures, you know what I'm saying? May you prosper as your soul prospers, and Matthew 6:33, kingdom of God. God is not really cool with the person that prospers, but his soul hasn't prospered.
Right.
Because he will not know what to do with the money, or he will use it for evil or wicked purposes. Yeah. It will end up destroying him, basically. Let's give you some scriptures. First of all, I want to give you maybe two or three scriptures on budgeting. Okay? This is how you prosper. Proverbs 6:6-8. Go to the ant, sluggard. He's sonny, y'all. Consider her ways and be wise. Who, having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provides food in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. This is about saving. He says, look, lazy person, look what the ant does. Look how the ant gathers. Look how it stores its food away in the summer. So that you know, when there is no harvest, it can eat. You know, the family can eat. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like the same story of Joseph. You know what I'm saying? Who gave wisdom to store food for the 7-day famine. All right? So that's one scripture on budgeting. You got another one there?
On the first day of every week, each one of you is to put aside and save. 1 Corinthians 16:2.
Okay.
On the first day of every week, each one of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper, so that no collection be made when I come.
Now, that's another interesting scripture. Phil, when he called, Phil said, you put a tenth aside for God.
Right.
And you put a tenth aside, I guess, for yourself. And I would even go farther as putting a tenth aside for savings.
Right.
And try to live off 70% instead of 80%.
Right. Right. So it's important to save, ladies and gentlemen. It's important to have a savings account. Don't spend everything budgeting as soon as you get it. It's not cool to live from check to check.
And that was a budgeting scripture, wasn't it?
Yes.
Because budgeting says, I'm going to put this aside for the future.
Right.
For the immediate future. For the short-term goals.
Right.
Savings deals with long-term goals.
Exactly.
Budgeting deals with short-term goals. You know what I'm saying? What's going to happen in a week or two or three. Right. All right? Let's read a couple of contentment scriptures. Being content with what you have. It said, Ecclesiastes 5:10 says this: whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. This too is meaningless. Let me read another one. Matthew 6:31-33. Do not worry then. I just actually talked about this. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, and what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Mm. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So he says, why are you worrying so much?
Stressing out over money.
Over money. Oh, over what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to drink, what I'm going to... Yes, these things are the cares of life, but if you're doing the right things, and here's the thing, if you're doing the right things, not just spiritually, but whether you're searching for a job, whether you're being the man of your job, you're knocking out the park, you know what I'm saying, make sure you're being a good employee, you know, you're building a network. If you're doing some of these things, trust me, it will be added unto you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But worrying about it does nothing else.
Hebrews 13:5 says, keep your mind free from the love of money and be content with what you have.
There you go. Be content. I mean, that's pretty much it right there. There's nothing else. Be content with what you have. You might not like what you have. But you have to be content with it because it's yours.
What you got right now.
That's all you got. You know what I'm saying? And I think that when you're not content with what you have, then what begins to develop is envy.
Right.
Because as soon as you see what somebody else has, you know, you see that new car, that new truck that somebody else has, you're like, man. And to be honest, I think that motivation spurs all of us.
Right.
What somebody else has. As long as we have more than most of the people that we know, we're cool. As soon as those people start getting more, that's what's called keeping up with the Joneses. Mm-hmm. We feel like we need to get more. Be content. Let me give you a couple of scriptures on investing. All right. Let's see. Proverbs 24:27. Prepare your work outside and make it ready for yourself in the field. Afterward, then build your house. Okay. Proverbs 28:20. A faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who makes haste to be rich will... Okay, I don't want to read that one. Okay, this is good. Go ahead,
Proverbs 15:22. Without consultation, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors, they succeed.
With many counselors. Part of investing is learning who to go to and asking, what do I do with my money?
Exactly.
Where do I put my money? How can I make my money work for me? It's good to have people counseling you on your money. I like this one. Ecclesiastes 11:2. Divide your portions to seven or even to eight, for you do not know what misfortune may occur on earth. Mm. Take your money. This was called not putting all your eggs in one basket.
Right.
Take your money, split it up, and do different things with it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I've opened up a recording studio. I've opened up a duplication company. I do consulting and training on sound in different areas. You never know which one that you're investing in is going to flourish.
Right.
All right. Let's go down and let's give. We only got a couple of minutes left. Let's give some scriptures on planning. Proverbs 13:16 says, "A man thinks ahead. A wise man thinks ahead. A fool doesn't, and even brags about it." A wise man says, you know what? I'm not going to do this today because I want to do this tomorrow. Mm-hmm. A fool says, look what I got. You like that?
Uh-huh.
And then tomorrow don't have it.
Exactly.
Tomorrow I get a repo. Operation repo. Do it to Michael Jackson.
Proverbs 21:5 says, the plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage, but everyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty.
You hear that? The plans of the diligent. So not only do you have to be plan, but you have to be diligent about carrying out those plans.
Right.
But the hasty, the ones that are rushing.
So they get something and spend it.
You know what I'm saying? Exactly. You're done. All right?
Me done.
let's see. Let's scroll down and let's end this with some scriptures on stewardship. Let's see. On stewardship. These scriptures are super long. Romans 14:8. For if we live, we live for the Lord. Or if we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. I don't know if that so much talks about money stewardship, but as life stewardship.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Being a good steward over your life. A steward is a manager. You know what I'm saying? So being a good manager over your life. Luke 12:47-48. Nah, we already read that one. This is a good one. Listen to this. This talks about networking. Luke 16:9-11. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by means of the wealth of unrighteous, so that when it falls, they will receive you into eternal dwellings. Mm. He who is faithful in a very little things is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous, the heck is going on with this? His little things is also unrighteous. He who is faithful in the very little things is also faithful in much. Remember, be faithful 100.
Right.
Be faithful with a million. But he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth, who will entrust riches to you? That's Bible. I didn't say that.
Don't get mad at him.
Don't be mad at me. Don't blame me.
Oh, God.
Blame God. You know what I'm saying? So, hopefully, after today, what in the heck did I do this thing? Hopefully, after today, you will have pretty much seen, you know what? Not only does the Bible warn us about, you know, being rich and you know, all these different things and, you know, the bad things that can happen and so on and so forth, but the Bible also gives us scriptures and I'm trying to tie this thing while I'm talking. Embarrassing. The Bible not only gives us scriptures, but it also gives us ways to get wealth. You know what I'm saying? Investing and planning, and I know a lot of y'all don't want to hear that. You know what I'm saying? Because y'all want to get money now. Y'all want to get paid now. You know what I'm saying? But the reality is that God does not mind you being rich as long as you do it His way. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So that's what it is.
That's the truth.
It's the kid Sean Slaughter.
It's your girl True Asia, and look. Quote of the day is, what is the quote of the day?
You got a quote of the day?
I do have a quote of the day. And I lost my quote of the day, actually.
All right, so freestyle.
The quote of the day is, don't chase money or it's going to run from you.
There you go.
I lost my quote.
And we appreciate Thank Cook for calling in. Thank our ham calls for calling in. Don't forget to check out the hamsamshow.com. You can call in anytime, leave us a message, 757-325-9493, and Facebook us, Ham Sandwich Show. And we appreciate y'all.
We appreciate y'all.
I appreciate y'all listening to What in the Ham Sandwich. Peace.